In Colossians chapter 1 and verse 16, if we have our Bibles open, it carries us right through into another aspect of Christ's rulership here. In verse 16, it states, "Because by means of him, all other things were created in the heavens and on the earth, the things visible and the things invisible, whether they are thrones or lordships or governments or authorities." So we see there that through Christ, other thrones too were created. And this would appear to refer to positions of authority, both visible and invisible, within God's administrative arrangement. So would we like to know the identity of these thrones? Well, let's give our attention to Brother Henry Kustra as he develops the theme, Appreciating the Thrones of Divine Rulership, the Thrones of the 144,000.
Please take your Bibles and turn with me to Matthew chapter 19 and verse 28. And we'll read a magnificent promise that Jesus gave to his faithful disciples. And it was a promise that in time would touch the lives of billions of humans for their eternal good. So Matthew 19 and verse 28. It says, Jesus said to them, "Truly I say to you, in the recreation, when the Son of Man sits down on his glorious throne, you who have followed me will sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel." So Jesus assured his faithful anointed followers that they would sit on thrones and that they would rule with him. And not only would they be judges, as Jesus mentioned here in Matthew chapter 19, but these ones would shoulder further greater responsibility, because Revelation chapter 5 and 10 says that they would be priests and they would rule as kings over the earth. So the realm of their rulership would be massive, covering not just the heaven, but it would also cover the entire earth. And Jesus promised the 144,000 that he would appoint them not over just some of his belongings, but over all of his belongings, and that they would share Jesus' vast heavenly authority. So as rulers, what would they accomplish in their special assignments? Well, as kings, they will share in directing earth's affairs. Even now, under imperfect conditions, the governing body, a small group of this anointed class here on the earth, are directing 8 million Jehovah's Witnesses around the globe. The results are nothing short of amazing. So if this is what a small group on earth can do, just imagine what the earth will be like when the 144,000 get to exercise their full authority and their oversight, directing hundreds of millions to build and transform the earth into a global paradise. It will be spectacular. And as priests, they will help educate mankind. It will be the greatest educational undertaking in the history of humankind. For billions of resurrected ones, it will be their first opportunity to learn about Jehovah's will and to conform to it. The 144,000 will teach everyone how to apply God's word and to replace hatred with love. Tribal, racial, and nationalistic problems will be eradicated. They will kindly help heal humankind. And they will ever so gently peel away the emotional scars left by the old system. And they will lovingly share in applying the merits of Jesus' sacrifice to all obedient mankind. And they will raise us to spiritual, moral, and physical perfection. And as judges, they will participate in administering the law of God. They will execute judgment on wicked ones. They will also judge wicked angels, and they'll share in ridding the universe of Satan and his demons. Universal peace will reign. So the 144,000, they must have outstanding qualities to be able to perform all of these duties. Why will the 144,000 be good rulers? Well, there's four reasons. Please take your Bibles and turn to Revelation chapter 4 and verse 4. And you might just wish to keep your Bible open here for a bit. So Revelation chapter 4 and verse 4, notice the last sentence. It says, these were bought from among mankind as first fruits to God and to the Lamb. So the first reason is that they were bought from mankind. So before their resurrection to heavenly life, they lived as humans here on the earth. They were from all nations. They were both men and women from all walks of life. Their life experiences here on the earth will enhance their ability to rule over humans. Number two, on earth they loved the truth and they lived blameless lives. They kept themselves undefiled by Satan's world and they remained morally pure. The third reason the 144,000 will be good rulers is because they proved their unflinching loyalty to Jehovah God and Jesus Christ. On earth, they hated what is bad. And they also proved their loyalty in a very special way that's mentioned here in Revelation chapter 14 and 4, starting right at the very beginning. It says, these are the ones who did not defile themselves with women. In fact, they are virgins. After their anointing, they remained virgins in a spiritual sense because they did not contaminate themselves with false religion. And notice what they did. In verse 4, continuing in Revelation chapter 4, it says, these are the ones who keep following the Lamb no matter where he goes. They follow Jesus loyally. And that's resulted in a stellar track record of many decades of faithful service to Jehovah. And as long as they remain faithful, each one will receive a final sealing before attaining to his heavenly reward. And that final sealing means that this chosen individual has fully demonstrated his loyalty and is a tried and faithful anointed one. There's no doubt that these ones will be loyal forever. Well, you can understand why the 144,000 must be carefully selected and tested by Jehovah. Mankind's current situation might be likened to that of hundreds of passengers aboard a damaged jetliner in bad weather. In such a critical situation, would you want a flight crew that's made up of young, inexperienced people? Hardly. The situation calls for a crew that's carefully selected according to stringent qualifications. And the 144,000 have met those qualifications. Reason number four. They experienced problems like those faced by survivors of Armageddon and resurrected ones. You know, sometimes we go through life's challenges and well-meaning friends might say to us, well, I understand what you're going through, or I know how you feel, when really they don't understand what we're going through because they're not going through what you're going through. But what's unique among the 144,000 is that Jehovah selected faithful humans who have experienced life with all of its problems. There's virtually nothing that people have been through that these king priests haven't been through themselves. Well, you might be wondering, have they really lived through the same things as us? Well, consider this. They went through all manner of illness, and they experienced the ravages of aging on an imperfect body. They know what it's like to go through those phases of life. It's been said that a teardrop is 1% water and 99% feeling. They shed tears filled with pain because of losing loved ones in death. They knew how much it can hurt to lose a mother or a father or a husband or a wife. They also faced and overcame difficult temptations like us. They're aware of how it feels to make mistakes and to grapple with guilt. They experienced heartaches and disappointments. They were victims of social, racial, and religious injustice in centuries past and also during these last days. Turn with me, please, to Revelation chapter 20 and verse 4. And let's see what else they went through. Revelation 20 and verse 4. There it says, "And I saw thrones, and those who sat on them were given authority to judge. Yes, I saw the souls of those executed for the witness they gave about Jesus, and for speaking about God, and those who had not worshipped the wild beast or its image, and had not received the mark on their forehead and on their hand. And they came to life and ruled as kings with the Christ for 1,000 years. Some of the 144,000 were killed because of their faith. And others experienced problems that are unique to Jehovah's servants opposed by the devil and his world. But rest assured, whatever trial we experienced, these king priests genuinely understand, and they're eager to help us get through them. They say that a good friend knows all your stories, but a best friend lived them with you. So knowing that the 144,000 have lived through similar challenges like us, doesn't it draw you closer to them? Doesn't it make you feel like they're our best friend? You know how comforting this is, don't you? We're going to be ruled by loving, sympathetic king priests. Their very background makes the 144,000 more empathetic and patient with imperfect humans than even angels might be. So now we're going to speak to Brother and Sister Peacock for a moment. Let's take a trip down memory lane for a bit. You've been both in the special full-time service for around 60 years. And over those years, you've both gotten to know and to love some of the governing body and the anointed. So Sister Peacock, maybe you can just share a brief story about one of the anointed that set a good example for you.
Well, I remember of the many governing body members who came to serve in Newfoundland as zone overseers, Brother John Booth. He was a very genteel, elderly brother, and he was a bachelor. And I remember he observed how Sister Layton and I had a real struggle to get the Bessel family laundry done, because we had a wringer washer, which was okay, but to get the laundry dried, many times we had to hang it in the basement for a week because of the inclement weather. And he observed that, and he recommended that the branch give us an automatic washer and an automatic dryer. So here was a single bachelor brother of the anointed who saw a need, and he filled it. And we were so grateful.
Yeah, and that act of kindness is something you remember to this day. So what impact did Brother Booth's example have on you?
Well, he was a very humble person, so I really tried to work on humility, but he also was one who saw a need and then acted on it. So that's how I try to be. If I see someone in need, I try to do something if I can.
Very good. And Brother Peacock, can you share a story with us about an anointed that set an example for you?
We got to know Sister Janet McDonald and her husband Howard very well. This was back in 1958 upon arriving in our honeymoon assignment in Quarryville, New Brunswick. Now, our assignments were about 20 miles apart. Barbara and I had no money for entertainment, but once a month we would visit the McDonald's and enjoy their thrilling experiences. They would often say to us, "Why do you young folks enjoy visiting with us old fogies?" Well, their exciting experiences were more enjoyable than any money could buy.
Can you share a few of those experiences that they told you about?
Well, Howard and Janet told us about how they were arrested several times in the province of Quebec, but they always looked at the positive view of things. They told us about how they hid literature in a chicken coop during the ban, and they always saw Jehovah's hand in the matter. For example, when they were serving in Magog, Quebec, the police took them to court. There was no charge made, but they said, "You'll have to pay us $15 in order to get out." Didn't have $15. "Well, what about $10? "We don't have $10. "Well, what about $5? "We don't have $5. "Well, you better go." Janet just loved the ministry. In fact, back in the 1980s. Now, this was many years before Metropolitan Witnessing was organized. She got permission to go into the local mall in Campbellton, New Brunswick, and she had a little table there, and she had fine success witnessing to individuals, and she was highly respected.
So what fine example did Sister McDonald have on you?
Many benefits. Back in the 1950s, we had very little financial means, but when Janet would relate to us how Jehovah had cared for them throughout their career in the full-time ministry, well, Barbara and I said, well, Jehovah can do the same thing for us. In fact, to this day, we enjoy reviewing her stories as they're recorded in the 1972 Watchtower, March 1st, page 146.
Well, Brother and Sister Peacock, thank you very much for sharing those special memories with us. Will the 144,000 be good rulers? Yes, and even more. They will be perfect rulers, displaying love to us almost beyond our comprehension. So let's consider some of our review questions for this symposium. Review question number one that dealt with Jehovah's throne. Why is God's rulership superior to man's? The answer, 1 John 4:8. Because divine rulership is perfect and rooted in Jehovah's qualities, it will satisfy mankind's every need. Review question number two about Jesus' throne. What makes Jesus an excellent king? The answer, Colossians 1:15. Jesus perfectly reflects his Father's qualities of love, justice, wisdom, and power. And review question number three. Why will the 144,000 be good rulers? The answer, Revelation 14:4. Their unflinching loyalty to Jesus, their love of truth, and the fact that they experience problems like those faced by survivors of Armageddon and resurrected ones will make them empathetic rulers. Proverbs 29:2 assures us that when the righteous are many, the people rejoice. What grand rejoicing there will be when all thrones reflect the loving qualities of the source of all power and authority, Jehovah.
So we thank you, brothers, and those interviewed for presenting that helpful information. How we treasure our precious kingdom hope.